from WBUR Boston and NPR. I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Call them what you will, white supremacists, white nationalists, alt-right, racists. Since Charlottesville, they say they're riding high, coming out of the shadows, boosted by all the news coverage, encouraged, they say, by the president. There are 9 more rallies that could happen this coming weekend. This isn't a show, folks, and it isn't over. This hour On Point, the white supremacist movement, who's in it, where it's headed, and how this nation responds. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. What do you see in this movement? The old KKK? A new polo shirt? Racism? What's the difference? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Before we dig in on what this movement is about, we turn to Janelle Ross in Washington, political reporter for The Washington Post. She co-wrote today's story in The Post on how mayors across the country are preparing to deal with upcoming nationalist rallies. You can find a link to her piece at our website, onpointradio.org. Janelle, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So what kind of steps are mayors taking where? I'm looking at this list of where rallies are planned, and it's long, 9 cities on here.
That is true. That is true. I think that it is, we should say, very difficult to say for sure where anything is going to happen.
Yes.
But there are places where there are rallies that are planned. There are also communities that have decided that they would like to take action or move forward with plans that were already in place to remove Confederate statues, which I think some people suspect might make them also places that those opposed to removing these statues would want to gather.
So, I mean, we've heard some making very, very clear statements. This was the mayor of Boston, Marty Walsh, where a big rally is planned this weekend, or a rally anyway. We'll see how big it is. But he was responding to the Charlottesville events over the weekend, sent a message to hard-right protesters planning to demonstrate in Boston. Here he was, Mayor Walsh.
Boston does not welcome you here. Boston does not want you here. Boston rejects your message. We reject racism. We reject white supremacy. We reject anti-Semitism. We reject the KKK. We reject neo-Nazis. We reject domestic terrorism. And we reject hatred. And we will do every single thing in our power to keep hate out of our city.
There of Boston, Marty Walsh, where there's a free speech rally scheduled for this weekend. But they've got a permit, do they not, Janelle?
They do indeed have a permit, which of course gives them the ability to peaceably assemble. Anything that moves beyond that point is not necessarily permitted or protected.
The city laying down strict conditions, you report. No sticks, no weapons, no backpacks even. What other kinds of steps are mayors taking as they look at what happened to Charlottesville?
I think the thing that seems to be most common is that you have there seems to have been an onslaught of cities around the country where there have been very specific steps taken in just the last few days to remove or relocate Confederate statues. Of course, I think most people are familiar with the fact that in Baltimore, the Confederate statues in place in that city for many, many years were hauled away overnight on Tuesday, or I suppose between Monday and Tuesday. In Birmingham, they have boxed up, essentially built a plywood box around that city's Confederate monument. In Richmond, there is a mayor who had been an advocate of placing additional context onto, plaques and panels around the existing statues. That city has quite an array of Confederate monuments and remembrances.
As we can imagine, the former capital of the Confederate South, yeah.
Indeed, indeed. And he has said that, in fact, he has shifted his opinion and has moved towards being in favor of removal and all that process might entail because he believes that these statues have become a rallying point for groups that the city does not want to invite.
Birmingham, Alabama, in kind of a bind you report, because Alabama state law penalizes cities with a $25,000 fine if they violate a prohibition against removing monuments. State law against taking them away. So they've got, plywood and a tarp around it.
That's true. And there are many cities that also find themselves in similar complicated situations. In Memphis, where the mayor has been working to try to remove Confederate statues since he first took office in 2016. There is a state law that makes removal rather difficult. At minimum, there's got to be a waiver given by a state historical commission. There have been a number of legal wranglings and so forth, and that process is ongoing. And as a city official told me there yesterday, this is a city where that is 63% Black and where there has been very little, if any, local opposition to removing these statues. But at this point, it is state law that is keeping them in place.
Janelle,
there are similar rules in Kentucky as well.
Colleges moving to here, you report Texas A&M and University of Florida canceling events tied to white nationalist groups scheduled for early mid-September. But that can get tricky because we have a First Amendment. We have free speech guarantees in this country.
Certainly, that is true. Of course, colleges have some liberties that, say, local governments do not in terms of restricting activities on their campuses. And then there is, of course, the looming question at all in all of these rallies. And it is, of course, in fairness, only a question about the possibility for violence. Another issue that I certainly was very surprised by, but is the reality of the sort of menu of issues that local government officials have to contend with today, which is that while they have a duty certainly to allow people to peacefully gather and protest or assemble as they see fit, they do also have some responsibilities towards public safety. And all of this is happening as the country has, in many places, really committed itself to reexamining policing and how aggressive policing should be. And so you see all of these things coming up in local government conversations and debates about what they should do, what they should do to be prepared, and what they should do in the event that there are violent gatherings in their cities.
Of course, it got tricky in Virginia, where they have open carry laws. So you had people with heavily armed surging in there, and then the police and mayor there saying, look, if we had been more aggressive, we might have had a bloodbath.
This is certainly true, and that is what local government officials have said there. Of course, there are people who have been quite critical of the police response in Charlottesville. But that is certainly true. There are open carry laws in Virginia. And by way of example, in New Orleans, where obviously most listeners are probably well aware that there were protests for an extended period of time as that city prepared to remove four Confederate monuments in May, there is a local ordinance that actually bars people from carrying weapons at protest sites or political gatherings. And while there were, I was there and I certainly saw a few individuals who were armed, it was nothing approaching what you saw in Charlottesville.
Janelle Ross with the Washington Post reporting on how cities, mayors, and more around the country are preparing for the possibility of rallies in their own backyards. Janelle, thank you very much for being with us today.